feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter.
And tonight on The Rita Cosby Show, it is wild to think about O.J. Simpson. And I want to take your calls. What are your thoughts? Here it is. 30 years later, I remember the moment when the jury came back and found him not guilty. I also remember the moments that I've spoken to OJ, and I remember talking to him on the phone. I had met him a number of times, and I remember one time calling after he had been acquitted, and I had called a contact of mine and said, you know, I'd love to talk to OJ, get his thoughts. What does he think about all this? And he goes, do you want to talk to OJ? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, OJ's right here. Let me put him on the phone. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting there talking to OJ Simpson. And of course, I was asking a whole bunch of questions. He answered some of them, not all of them. And then he said, I used to watch you all the time on TV. I know exactly who you are, Rita. And I said, well, I know who you are, OJ. That's for sure. So it was an interesting moment, and I had talked to him a couple times on the phone. And I also think about here we are, 30 years later. What does it say about the decision that he was acquitted? Of course, he was found guilty later in the civil trial. And then you look at people talking today. I mean, some people make it sound like he was like the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he certainly was an amazing athlete. He was an amazing broadcaster. He was an amazing talent. But I also have a lot of problems with people making it sound like he is the greatest thing that ever walked this earth and the most misunderstood man. You know, if you look at all the facts there in the case, he had a great, great legal team. I knew Johnny Cochran really well. He was one of the best attorneys out there. Also, of course, Alan Dershowitz, who I talked with earlier today. You look at Robert Kardashian, and you look at just F. Lee Bailey, who I've interviewed a lot, too. I mean, these were great, great attorneys. And you have to wonder, if he didn't have the kind of money to have that kind of legal team that was able to sort of figure things out and be able to twist and turn the case, would the outcome have been different? I'm not saying everybody has a right to have a proper defense. I'm a big believer in that. But also, come on. I mean, there he was in that white Bronco. And we're about to start another trial on Monday. This is going to be a President Trump. This is Alvin Bragg's case against him. And I think the sort of like focus on these huge criminal trials started definitely with O.J. Simpson. There's no doubt about it. Everybody was glued to their set watching the Bronco. I remember the moment. I remember again where I was standing when the verdict came in. And I remember the moments I was talking to OJ on the phone. So there are wild things that we all think about. And the fact that he has passed away now at the age of 76 from prostate cancer. What do you think is the legacy of OJ Simpson? What are your memories of OJ Simpson? And if you were on the jury, what would you have voted for? Would you have said, heck no, I'm not going to let that guy walk? Granted, he got found guilty later, remember, for the robbery and all that other stuff. And it was like an excessive punishment. It was sort of payback because they felt he got off scot-free on the first one, on the first-degree murder charges. So what are your thoughts about all the case and O.J. Simpson in general? 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And everybody, who could forget this moment? This is the wild Bronco chase. And then the following year, the court case. And here was the verdict.
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles. In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA-097-211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
Wow, 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 wow. By the way, you all know I worked at Fox News for 10 years and was one of the main anchors there and main correspondents. And I'll never forget when I first got hired by Fox News, they said, Rita, your job will be everything else other than the first O.J. Simpson trial. That Eric Shawn, who is still there, I love Eric Shawn, who's a great reporter and host there at Fox News, his beat was covering the O.J. Simpson case because he had been covering it for a while. So his job was covering the O.J. Simpson case. And my beat at this point, very early on, was everything else other than O.J. Simpson in the world. So I was literally traveling everywhere in the globe. But of course, all eyes fixed on O.J. Simpson. There is no doubt about that. I also used to work in California. I had had dinners at Mezzaluna, where Ron Goldman worked. I remember seeing Ron Goldman there. I mean, this is, you know, this is very, very close to home, I think, for so many of us who watched the trial and also knew some of the players involved. And here is, of course, Johnny Cochran. Who could forget this moment? Remember, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I was thinking last night about this case and their theory and how it didn't make any sense and how it didn't fit and how something is wrong. And it occurred to me how they were going to come here and stand up here and tell you how O.J. Simpson was going to disguise himself. Was going to put on a knit cap and some dark clothes, and he was going to get in his white Bronco and this recognizable person and go over and kill his wife. That's what they want you to believe. That's how silly their argument is. And I said to myself, maybe I can demonstrate this graphically. I'm going to show you something. This is a knit cap. I'm going to put this knit cap on. And you've been seeing me for a year. If I put this knit cap on, who am I? I'm still Johnny Cochran with a knit cap. And if you look at O.J. Simpson over there, and he has a rather large head, O.J. Simpson in a knit cap from two blocks away is still O.J. Simpson. It's no disguise. It's no disguise. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. It reminded me that there was testimony early on that Detective Lang had refused basically to pick up a knit cap inside the Brown residence that was shown to him, I think, by some of the lawyers and one of the investigators on that date, because he's a fairly common. But they don't really disguise anybody who's noticeable, do they? And although I was the guinea pig here this afternoon, if you were to put a knit cap on, how's that going to disguise you? We've been together. I'd know your face anywhere now. And you'd know mine. And the people in Brentwood, in West Los Angeles, would know O.J. Simpson. They know his car. They know him. That's where he lives. Even the prosecutors say he's so famous that he can't go anywhere where he wouldn't be recognized.
Remember those moments. Wow. Well, today, of course, remember Robert Kardashian, who is the father of the Kardashian sisters. He was on the Dream Team. Well, he passed away, and Caitlyn Jenner came out today and said, good riddance, when she heard that O.J. Simpson had passed away. And this is a bizarre comment. Corinne Jean-Pierre at the White House. Listen to what she said. She sent her condolences to OJ and OJ's family, and she seemingly forgot to think about the victims like Ron Goldman, his family, and Nicole Brown Simpson's family. Listen to this bizarre comment during the White House press briefing today.
Was there any reaction from the president to OJ Simpson's death? Do you know if they ever crossed paths? Sure. If so, how, when?
So I'll say this, our thoughts are with his families during this difficult time, obviously with his family and loved ones. And I'll say this, I know that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that. I'll just leave it there.
What a bizarre thing. She forgets to say, and of course we're thinking of the victims. It's like our thoughts and prayers are with wonderful O.J. Simpson and his family. And obviously, it's a loss when you lose somebody. It's obviously gut-wrenching. But to leave out Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson and all those others, however you want to phrase it, our thoughts and prayers definitely have to be with them today. And in fact, Ron Goldman came out and said, "Today, I'm thinking about my son. I don't even want to think about O.J. Simpson." They still have civil punishment against him. And O.J. Simpson, at the time of his death, owed $100 million about because he didn't pay the civil penalty. Remember, it was like $33 million and there's interest. And Ron Goldman did say one thing today. He said, "You know what? We're going to go after his assets. We're going to try to see what assets he has. Maybe he can finally start paying back the family," which is a small amount considering the unbelievable loss of that family. 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Al. Al, your thoughts.
Yeah, hi, Rita. You know, Rita, when I look back on the O.J. Simpson case, I think of all the legal minds, the great legal minds who were part of his legal team. I think back to F. Lee Bailey, who represented the Boston Strangler, a legal advisor, of course, Alan Dershowitz, who's always on WABC, the Red Line, who represented Klaus von Bülow in the, reversal of fortune decision. So he had so many great lawyers, and at the time, I remember there was a controversy that they were having a lot of infighting because they were such, top lawyers. So I remember that vividly. And also, Kim Kardashian's father, like you pointed out, was one of his lawyers. But I think besides that, he was a personal friend of OJ's. And unfortunately, he died too young.
Yeah. Do you remember, by the way, Al, the moment when the verdict came in and OJ was acquitted and you see Kardashian's face? I remember the moment. He looked like, "Oh, I just let a guilty man go free." He had that look in his face.
Johnny Cochran was in the background there. Yes.
That's how I read it. I mean, his face just looked like utter shock. By the way, I talked with Professor Dershowitz today. I was filling in on WABC for James Golden at 4 o'clock, and I'll be on it tomorrow again, you guys, at 4 p.m.
Oh,
and,
great.
Yeah, which is great. And it's so much fun. It's such a great show, and I love James.
It is.
And, it was so funny, Al, because it was interesting and revealing to hear this from Dershowitz, because he joined me today. And Professor Dershowitz was saying that he's gotten more vilified for defending Trump than he did for OJ. I mean, how twisted is that?
I was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked.
I mean, what a shocking, crazy statement. I mean, you can't make it up. I mean, if that doesn't put things in perspective, wow, wow, wow. Al, thank you very much, and I'm glad you're going to be tuning in tomorrow at 4 o'clock. 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue your calls, everybody, after the break.
The Rita Cosby Show. Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment, or newbridgehealth.org. It's the Rita Cosby Show.
We are talking about the passing of O.J. Simpson. amazing athlete, amazing broadcaster, a hero who went from the top of his game to being one of the reviled Americans, probably one of the most reviled at that time. And certainly that trial divided America. The decision divided America. It showed us a very different, two different sides of America. There were many people who were cheering, and then there were other people who wanted to throw a tomato at the TV set when it came down and the decision that acquitted him. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Tom. Tom, your thoughts. Hi, Thomas.
Hey there,
go
Rita.
Ahead, Thomas.
Thank you, Rita. First of all, your work ethic is really impressive, Rita. You're on all those shows you do, and you do such a nice job. That's really impressive.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, I love what I do, so that helps, you know?
You bet. But anyway, Rita, Johnny Cochran, Alan Dershowitz, and Effie Bailey are not going to help Orenthal Simpson when he meets his maker in heaven. God, they're not going to be able to help him, and I pray he gets his just reward. You know, Rita, he had motive and opportunity. Did you ever see the pictures of Nicole Brown's face from the domestic violence that thug committed against her?
Yes.
I truly believe he committed that murder. And unlike Donald Trump with the manufactured cases against an innocent man, he had great attorneys that manufactured a great defense against the very guilty man. There's no doubt in my mind, all those droplets of blood that led to his back door, the banging on the wall from the tenant, there was so much evidence that showed he committed that murder, Rita. He literally got away with murder, don't you think?
Well, I'll tell you, Thomas, that I also, the fleeing, remember he was fleeing in the Bronco, which I always thought was a weird thing. And also, he always said, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for the real killer. But then he was out on the golf course. I mean, his actions even post really, I think, enforced what you're saying, don't you?
And also, yes, and Rita, there was another piece. He got snubbed. I think she was going... Nicole Brown was going to the daughter's dance recital with Ron Goldman, and he was not invited. He was a very jealous man, and his ego couldn't handle that. And there was so much domestic violence. He had plenty of motive and opportunity. There's no doubt in my mind he committed that murder.
Well, I have talked to Fred Goldman through the years, and I have also talked to Nicole's sister, and boy, they are 100% convinced that he did it. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens now, Thomas, too, because, you know, now that they owe him, you know, he owes, I talked to you, it's about $100 million, I think, with interest. They can go after his assets because he never paid. He never gave them anything. Even though they had a court victory in the civil case, he never paid them a dime. And remember, you know, when someone says they're looking for the killer of his wife, you know, and says, oh, I'm looking. And then he's out on, you know, the 12th hole having margaritas. That looks really fishy.
Rita Cosby is on. Rita Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment here on the Rita Cosby Show is sponsored by GoyaCares.com because you are a precious gift from God. And this powerful story coming from near Atlanta, Georgia, where scary moments unfolded just recently when an elderly woman at an assisted living facility started choking while she was eating her lunch. Acworth Police Officer Tamara Severtson was immediately dispatched to the facility and was told that the Heimlich maneuver had not worked on the woman, who is a memory care patient over the age of 90. Officer Severtson said, I grabbed my LifeVac device and was able to run into the building where I found her in her wheelchair. And at that point, she was unresponsive and turning blue. By the way, the LifeVac device is an exceptional suction cup that is used to clear food from an obstructed airway. I actually have one because it is such an important and very, very necessary and great device, and it gives you also peace of mind to have in your home. And incredibly, Officer Severitson had in fact purchased several of those LifeVac devices on her own, both to keep at home and at work in the event of an emergency just like this. The officer recounted the moment saying, "I used it, I believe, a total of 3 or 4 times each time I was able to dislodge food from her airway. On the 4th and final time, thankfully, Cobb Fire arrived and we were able to get her some oxygen." Following her life-saving actions, the police department heralded the officer and has since started purchasing LifeVacs for every officer in the department. The department noted, quote, "This is a small investment that could have a very, very large impact on the community." And bravo to this great officer who was thinking quickly, also happened to have just gotten the device on her own for such a circumstance and for saving this woman's life. And the LifeVac device is an awesome device. So heavily encourage it, everybody. You got to check it out. It is terrific. And bravo again to this amazing, amazing officer. And we love supporting our men and women in blue here on The Rita Cosby Show. Well, we're talking about O.J. Simpson. And boy, did he have a fall from grace. First off, who could remember it when he was at the top of his game doing the Hertz ads, the Hertz rent-a-car ads like this?
Nobody does it better than Hertz.
Nobody does it better. Hertz leads the others by far. Nobody does it best for you. Hertz, the superstar.
Nobody has more of what it takes to rent you a Fairmont, Mustang, LTD, or other fine car faster.
Hertz, the superstar.
You know.
And OJ was a superstar. And then, of course, everything changed in 1994 when Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were found slaughtered. And who could forget the trial? F. Lee Bailey. That was another one of the big members of the Dream Team. And this moment that I think had a big impact clearly on the jury. Now, remember the jury. There were African-American members on the jury. And they decided they were not going to find O.J. Simpson guilty. And listen to what they, this is, I think, very important, because it was this moment really epitomized some of the issues in the trial, also putting the witnesses on trial and turning the tables on Mark Furman, of course, the member of the law enforcement there. Remember this with F. Lee Bailey questioning Furman about using racist words.
The rug, my banister, checked all of these items for blood. And, of course, no blood found. And if you look at this carpeting, it's a little more plush than the carpeting that was in my Bronco. Those Bruno Magli shoes had some ridges in them. You would have thought that if there was some blood in there anywhere, that this carpeting would have picked up some of it. And, of course, it didn't. Now, let's go up to my bedroom. Well, as I come up my stairs, white carpeting all the way, banister, they checked everything, and no blood. Now, come with me into my bedroom. Now, this is my bedroom. Incidentally, I believe this is a book that every American should read. This is the room, and this is the area, basically, where the police claim to have found the socks. Even they admit that these socks seem somewhat out of place.
And that was O.J. giving a tour of the Rockingham estate. That was afterwards. That was in like 1996. But here's F. Lee Bailey. Here's the moment I was talking about.
Do you use the word in describing people?
Presently?
Yeah.
Oral.
No, sir.
Have you used that word in the past 10 years?
Not that I recall, no.
You mean if you called someone an you have forgotten it?
I'm not sure I can answer that question the way you phrase it, sir.
You have difficulty understanding the question. I'll rephrase
it. Yes.
I want you to assume that perhaps at some time since 1985 or 6, you addressed a member of the African American race as a... Is it possible that you have forgotten that act on your part?
No, it's not possible.
Are you therefore saying that you have not used that word in the past 10 years, Detective Furman?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And you say on your oath that you have not addressed any black person as a or spoken about black people as in the past 10 years, Detective Furman?
That's what I'm saying, sir.
So that anyone who comes to this court and quotes you as using that word in dealing with African Americans would be a liar, would they not, Detective Furman?
Yes, they would.
All of them, correct?
All of them.
All right. Thank you.
As an officer, he is an officer of the court. He has lied to this court. He is impeached by his own witness.
I ask that you put a stop to it. Either put Cordoba on the stand.
Excuse me, Mr. Bailey.
Stop her from testifying.
Stand up and speak when it's your turn. Mr. Bailey, you can see how agitated he is, has been caught in a lie. And you know something? Not in this case. You don't get away with that. There's just too many people watching.
I did not claim that he related the incident to me. I said I spoke to him, and I have no doubt that he'll appear. And I don't have any doubt.
Now he's standing up and hair-splitting with us. I never said he said this to me. I just said he spoke to me personally. That's nonsense. That shows you what we have over here in the way of ethics on this side of the table.
Wow. That was Marsha Clark, I believe, coming at F. Lee Bailey. And these figures became like, you knew them better than you knew your family almost, because you saw them every single day. What about Judge Ito? Remember, who seemed to enjoy all the cameras in the courtroom, too, during the O.J. Simpson case. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Patty. Patty, line 5, your thoughts.
Yes, Rita. You know, you and I usually have very fair, cordial communications. Rita, in my opinion about this O.J. case, in my opinion, murder is unforgivable. And attorney Ron Cochran and O.J. are both deceased or dead. And I think, Rita, that we must let them rest in peace. But murder is murder. And as I said, Rita, in my opinion, murder is unforgivable. Moreover, if someone paid off a person in this case to murder O.J.'s wife and Goldman, it is a shame.
Patty, let me ask you, do you think he did it? Do you think somebody, there was some payout that somebody else did it? I'm trying to figure out where you're going. Why do you think that?
Yes. Well, for a few reasons, but especially when the attorney for him, in other words, when the attorney said, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If some of the evidence was that the murderer was wearing a glove when the murders were done, if the glove didn't fit O.J. Simpson, and it was in fact being worn by the murderer, and it didn't fit O.J., that's part of the evidence.
But the whole thing about the glove was that, remember, it got wet, so it shrank. That was like the whole thing, and they didn't sort of take a lot of that into. By the way, I wasn't there that night, nor were you. But I don't know, you know, if he did it. But I thought the evidence looked pretty strong that he did, and the fact that he, you know, was driving away and doing all these other things. I mean, he didn't act like somebody, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not saying he did it, but I am saying he didn't act like somebody who was an innocent guy driving away down the freeway, thinking about killing himself, said he was going to look for his wife and he was playing golf. So, yeah. I mean, somebody could set him up, but it's a little hard to believe that. Go ahead, Patty.
Right. Yeah. Rita, could I ask you a question, though? If he didn't do it and he was very upset, or if he didn't do it, but, you know, someone who knew of this paid someone else off, it may have been natural the way O.J. was acting, or logical the way O.J. was acting.
Well, then he should have used all his money to try to track down that other person who did it. You know, I mean, he had a lot of money and a lot of resources. You know, it's hard to believe that the actions, even afterwards, are very mm-hmm. questionable. That's that, you know what I mean? You don't go play golf if you think somebody, if you didn't do it and somebody else did it and you got the resources, he had the resources mm-hmm. to hire the best to defend him. It would have been nice mm-hmm. if he used his resources to try to find, quote, the real killer, if that's the case. You know, that,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's my point. But Patty, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Real quick, let's go to Steve real quick. Steve.
Hey, well, as far as I'm concerned, the cartel killed her. Everyone knows she was involved with Pablo Escobar. I mean, it's apparent.
Wait, where did you get that one? Is that from Colombian Dreams or something, or where is that from?
It's a joke, Rita.
Yeah, obviously. By the way, after Patty's call, I'm trying to, like, wrap my head around everybody. Go ahead.
I'm just glad that Nicole and Ron could rest in peace now that they know their killer was dead.
By the way, you know what I found disgusting, Steve? I really found disgusting the White House today. The fact that they were like, we feel so bad for OJ and his family. What about Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson?
Well, they're white. So it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter to them. I just think that, what was I about
You to think say? It's about race? Is that what you think it's about? Like, that's why they honored, I mean, you know, Steve, it's really shocking that somebody at the White House didn't say, this is a guy who was, right. you know, who most people believe did it, other than Patty, and most people believe obviously got away with it. And you're sitting there, you know, treating him like he's, you know, Gandhi today. That's a problem.
Right. That's repulsive. I don't know if it's about race, but it seems that, like, okay, for example, when Laken Riley was killed, you know, she was killed by an illegal. And Biden comes out and apologizes for us calling him an illegal, but there's nothing about Laken.
No, you know what? You hit it on the head. You're right. It's like the world is upside down at the White House. You know, you're right. And then he apologized and called. So I got to call that person undocumented, but still hasn't called her by her correct name, Laken Riley. Shocking, shocking, shocking. You guys, when we come back, we're going to continue with your calls, and we're also going to talk to the great conservative commentator, Carrie Sheffield, about mental illness. She has a blockbuster book. We're going to talk about it after the break.
It's the Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
And mental illness is an enormous issue in our country. We see it often with repeat offenders. We just see it in everyday individuals also. And this next guest is an amazing achiever who has done so much. She is one of the great conservative commentators out there, a great columnist out there. And now we are learning about the incredible journey that she herself went on dealing with mental illness. Joining us now is Carrie Sheffield. Her book is called Motorhome Prophecies, A Journey of Healing and Forgiveness. Carrie, I'm so glad to have you here. You got to share your story because so many people know you from all the different media where you're all over the place, and yet you have a remarkable personal story of what you overcame.
Rita, thank you so much for having me and for letting me tell this story because you're right. This moment in time, we have the highest suicide rate since 1941. That's going out of the emerging of the Great. So I'm calling this the new Great Depression. We also have the highest depression rate ever. In terms of suicides, we had the highest number of suicides. Almost 50,000 people committed suicide in 2022. That's almost 17 times the number of people who were killed in the terrorist attacks of 9/11. So this is now an epidemic. And I wrote my book, as you said, Motorhome Prophecies is the title, because I grew up largely in a motorhome. I have 7 biological siblings and my parents, so there were 10 people in the motorhome. We also lived in sheds and tents and trailer parks. I ended up going to 17 public schools. And unfortunately, we were psychologically, spiritually, physically, emotionally abused by my father, who claimed that he was an offshoot Mormon prophet. Well, the mental illness that accompanied all of that abuse was legendary. I have three siblings who have attempted suicide. I considered suicide on and off many times over the years. I had diagnosis of PTSD, fibromyalgia, anxiety, and all that was happening while I got a full scholarship to Harvard. Like you said, while I've been doing all this commentary on places like Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, I call this book my anti-resume because we're all in our society, we're all obsessed about our image and the resume and what we present to the world. And so many people are struggling with what's hidden in the anti-resume, the shadow side.
How did you overcome all of this, Carrie Sheffield, and become so successful? How did you break through?
Well, it's through the grace of God. And that's one thing that I am so passionate about is to show and talk about the scientific evidence. There's so many studies I've been writing and just curating about places like the Harvard School of Public Health, the National Bureau of Economic Research, Psychiatric Times. They did a literature review of 93 different studies and found almost 70% of these studies showed a strong relationship between lower depression and faith in God and religious participation. And they also found, they looked at over 100 studies, I think it was 123 studies about substance abuse, and 90% of these studies showed that if you were religious and faithful to God, you were much less likely to have substance abuse. 90% of those studies showed it. So for me, God was my lifeline out. And it was a faith in a God who loved me more than I loved myself. Because when you're suicidal, you hate yourself because you've been told to hate yourself by the people around you. In my case, my father, and then other people who abused me. And so I know there's so many people, even listening to the sound of my voice right now, who are struggling, or maybe someone in your family struggling, or somebody that you know, and they've been believing a lot of lies about themselves because they've been told lies all their lives. And so I think studying the Bible, studying whatever tradition you're in your faith tradition, the major world religions, they say similar messages that you're a child of God, you're a child of infinite worth, and it can literally rewire your brain. It's called neuroplasticity. It's proven in neuroscience, and that's what God did for me.
And we just have about a minute or so left. Why did you feel now confident enough to share the story and to inspire other people, Carrie, as you are in a big way in your book?
Well, it was a combination of the circumstances, given the high depression and suicide rates happening right now, this moment in time. And then also part of it was that I just got sick and tired of hiding and all these things that I felt like I had to keep hidden, all these things that I was ashamed of. So to be able to release it is such a gift for me. And I've been told by people it's a gift for them to hear, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one who's suffering. I'm not the only one who feels like I have to hide things. So I encourage anyone, again, who's listening, come out, reach out to people who love you, find a strong faith community, link arms, and pray.
And by the way, real quick, because we have a lot of listeners, of course, on WABC, our home station here on Red Apple Audio Networks. You have something coming up real quick on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sunday, come 10 a.m. down to Brooklyn, I will be giving my testimony in person at the Christian Cultural Center. It's 12020 Flatlands Avenue in Brooklyn. The founder is Pastor A.R. Bernard. It's a beautiful church, about 30,000 people on three different campuses. Would love any of these listeners to show up and just feel the Spirit.
And we love, by the way, the pastor, we have the Rabbi and the Rev on WABC, by the way, on Sundays, and he is the Rev. So you got to give Pastor A.R. Bernard our love, and that is going to be, you're going to have a huge welcoming, and boy, to hear your message right now, I think, is so important. Carrie Sheffield, thanks so much for being here, and congrats for sharing the story and having the courage to share it and inspire others. It's called Motorhome Prophecies. And make sure you come on out and see Carrie in person. She's an amazing human being this Sunday. And we'll continue the Rita Cosby Show, everyone, after the break.